You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Waitangi weekend had no shortage of controversy between a media ban, a heavy police and marae security presence, and a surprise Labour announcement in naming Willie Jackson as a list candidate for the party. I covered all of this in my weekly chat with Māori Party co-leader Marama Fox and began by asking her why the usual headline-making protests didn't feature in this year's Waitangi Day.
Well, I've got a couple of theories about that. People are sort of moving into the maturing of our nation. So we've had the birthplace and our teething problems. We've had our teenage rebelliousness. We've got through most of those issues that affect us. We do believe that there is far more to go, but we've found better forums by which we can have those discussions. Provocative Act, that doesn't single out provocative action when needed, when things don't go right or when people are not listening. But I think we've moved into the young adulthood of our nation's life, and we're learning how to be more pragmatic and get moving forward for the benefit of all people. Now, we're not doing that so well, and that was one of the points that Iwi leaders made, where we are leaving a group of Kiwis behind, including Māori, Pacifica and others, who are not benefiting from a buoyant economy, as people describe it, who are burdened under hardship of poverty, and we need to do more to address that so that we can move together as a nation and not simply accept that there'll always be a group of people who live in poverty and that we'll always have homelessness, because that's not the country all of us signed up to, and it's not something that any of us are proud of, and we need to do more in a united front to address those issues.
Do you think the media has a role in this blossoming adulthood? Because obviously they were prevented from covering a lot of the events on Te Ti Marae this year. Do you think that was fair?
Look, I think that the media portrayed things in a different way this year because they saw the effect on themselves as well. So I don't think it was fair. I think that, that we don't charge the media to go to Anzac Cove or any of those places, as I think it was Duncan Garner pointed out. However, I understand the whānau from Te Ti Marae, who are simply stating that according to the Waitangi Tribunal and our own history and the Māori version of the treaty, we never ceded sovereignty. So they exerted their own rangatiratanga by saying, well, this is our whenua. This is our place. If you want to come here, you abide by our rules, and then proceeded to charge them $10,000 to be there. So I don't think that's right, but I understand their thinking about it. So then you look at what the media did. They sort of portrayed it in a different light. They went out around Waitangi grounds and they found that, oh, actually, there is entertainment, there are stalls, there are people enjoying the atmosphere, the tours, the information that's been provided, and they looked past just the normal jostle and of the political parties turning up and the protest section, and said, well, actually, you know what, there are wonderful Waitangi celebrations happening all over the country without controversy. And I think they started to say, if we can't get a story here, let's look around and see what's going on. And so I do think that, of course, the media have a part to play. I all know that in politics, it's very hard to get cut through on the media unless I'm tossing the toys about something. But we do a lot of fantastic things that doesn't get any pickup whatsoever. So I think it had two sides to this. One, I do agree with the media that this ban at Te Ti was, overreaction from them. But I think the media then had, in looking for stories to put up, started to go outside the norm, talk to different people, and found actually, you know, New Zealand's getting on with the business.
Yeah. There are other perspectives, I guess, that again than that of politicians, but nonetheless, politicians do come to Waitangi for that kind of that public outlet where they can convey, you know, the sense of the day to the rest of the country. And that was something that Andrew Little and Winston Peters were very unhappy about and said they might not return to the Marae. I don't know. Do you think there's a danger that Waitangi will become less significant if it doesn't have all this politics happening at it?
No, not at all. I mean, look at Independence Day celebrations in the United States, bigger and bigger every year. People celebrating nationhood. And if you look past what goes on at Te Tī, just up the road at the Waitangi grounds, at the Big Marae, wonderful things are happening. And people take the opportunity to celebrate our nationhood, and those celebrations are getting stronger and stronger. I was at Ōrākei on Waitangi Day, and I heard Ngāti Mupulea talk about the first time they had celebrations. They tried to have an alcohol-free day and concerts and things down at Ōkau on the beach. They expected a few people to turn up. They got 30,000 people, and he said that he was the one in charge of doing all the recycling and collecting of rubbish, and they took 3 tons of bottles of alcohol, or you know, empties, to the tip that year. The second year, the message started to get through, and they only had 1 ton. The next year, they had 1 box, and now they have none. People have got used to the fact that this is a family celebration, time to come together, and the crowds have grown and grown and grown.
The other big news of the weekend was, of course, Willie Jackson being added as a list candidate for the Labour Party. There were, however, previously talks about him standing for the Māori Party, though. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. We have a selection process to get through up in Tāmaki Makaurau. A number of people put their hands up, including Willie Jackson, and he would have had to go through the selection process like everybody else. I understand he wasn't happy about that, and then was wooed by the Labour Party. And he's quite entitled to do that, and we wish him well. I didn't understand it. I'm not overly concerned about him going through Labour Party. What does concern me is that the reconciliation of the business that Willie does with the values of the Labour Party, given that he leads whānau water providers in Luma. He has a charter school that he knows absolutely lauds the benefits of, and he was sitting on Te Mātāwai, Māori Party policy that's now operating around for the revitalisation of Te Reo, and he's currently working through developing a social housing plan that we were supporting him with in his negotiations with the minister. All of those things are Māori Party policy, and many of them, specifically charter schools and social housing, the Labour Party don't align with and openly try to abolish. So it just is, just a bit, I don't understand why that would be his decision, given I know how passionate he is about the work that he does.
Yeah, I think in the past he's kind of fought off this criticism over conflicts of interest by saying that Māori can wear many hats as opposed to presumably Pākehā who can wear fewer hats. I don't know. What do you think of that?
Of course, we all wear many hats, and Pākehā do as well. But when you have to vote for it in Parliament, when one of your members of your party puts up a bill to abolish charter schools, had he have been sitting in Parliament during that time, would he have crossed the floor? I mean, would he have voted it down? Would he have not approved of being whipped like the other Māori MPs who then voted in support of the abolition of charter schools, even though they know that it is working for Māori across the country? You know what? It's just baffling to me. I don't know where he would have been and how that fits with their policy. So that's Labour's issue now, and I do wish him well. and the sort of negative backlash that's come out of Labor Party in response to his nomination can't be easy, must be hard, and I actually feel for it.
So you don't necessarily align with the criticism that's coming up over his statements in the roast busters and other such comments?
No, of course. I mean, of course there is criticism there about those things that have happened, but I mean, he needs to reconcile that with his own party. He is standing for them, and that criticism is coming from within the party, though I might agree around the Roastbusters comments. The issue that is before them is whether they can align themselves with him and he can align themselves with them. Apparently they can, but there is definitely backlash coming, and I know that's got to be difficult when you're standing up in the public eye. So, you know, best wishes to Willie in his endeavours. I think that there has been some spin trying to deflect from what's going on within their own party back to the Māori Party, saying that we've been deceitful. I don't understand how we've been deceitful at all. The Labor Party leadership went to Willie, knowing that he was potentially going to put his hand up for the Māori Party, and we didn't hear about it until it was a done deal.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.